Chapter 11. Carried by the Tide. A few days later, Tom finally obtained Dorlcote Mill, and Maggie went to spend a few days with her Aunt Moss to reflect on her future. One afternoon, she was shocked to see Stephen riding towards the farm. He looked wild and desperate.
"Maggie,"
he begged as soon as they were alone together.
"Forgive me for the other night, but I'm mad with love for you. I'll give you everything I have, my money, my reputation, if you'll only tell me that you feel the same."
"This is wicked,"
replied Maggie.
"Other people are involved. We must think about them, not just ourselves."
"You're engaged to Philip Wakeham, aren't you?"
Stephen asked sadly.
"I will never marry anyone else,"
she replied firmly.
"Tell me that you don't love me,"
he challenged her, looking into her eyes.
"Tell me that you love someone else better."
Maggie knew that she should tell Stephen that she was in love with Philip and put an end to his hopes of winning her, but her heart protested, and she could not.
"If your feelings are the same as mine, it is natural that we should marry."
He continued seeing her hesitate.
"It is the only right thing to do."
"I used to feel that it was right to follow strong feelings,"
said Maggie miserably.
"But now I know that our duty to others is more important. If our love is wrong, we must give it up."
"I'll do anything you want,"
said Stephen desperately.
"Just kiss me once before we part."
They kissed, and Maggie ran inside in tears. Lucy had planned a river trip for one of Maggie's final days at St. Ogg's. She wanted Maggie and Philip to be alone together, and so at the last minute she pretended to have a headache. She didn't know that the night before Philip had seen a look of love pass between Stephen and Maggie that he could not ignore. He had spent a sleepless night and could not face Maggie that morning. He asked Stephen to go in his place. When Stephen arrived at Lucy's house, he and Maggie realized that they would be alone together for the afternoon.
"Let's go on the river anyway,"
he said.
"It won't harm anybody."
And so they went down to the boat together. As Stephen rowed the boat and whispered words of love to Maggie, she relaxed into a dream and gave up any thought of resistance. She was only vaguely conscious of what was happening or where she was until she realized that they were much further down the river than they had planned.
"What shall we do?"
she cried in panic.
"We won't be home for hours, and Lucy will suspect something."
Stephen let go of the oars and sat beside her.
"Maggie,"
he said decisively,
"it's eloped together. We can land at Mudport and then take the stagecoach to York. Tomorrow we can travel to Scotland. Be married at Gretna Green."
Maggie protested, but Stephen insisted.
"Can't you see how destiny has brought us together? Today, we belong to each other. The river is carrying us away from our old ties to a new life together."
Maggie realized that things had gone too far already. They let the tide carry them along as the sky became dark. Soon they saw a large boat behind them, and Stephen asked the captain if they could board it. It was late, and they were not as near Mudport as they had hoped. Stephen told the sailors that Maggie was his wife, and they spent the night on the deck of the boat, talking of their love and their future happiness. But when Maggie woke up the next morning, their situation seemed different in the cold light of day, and the only sensations she felt were pain and guilt. She was silent as they landed at Mudport, but when they arrived at an inn to rest, she could not hide her feelings anymore.
"I'm not going any further,"
she said.
"We must part here."
Stephen was frightened by the determination in her voice. She looked as if she had woken from a dream.
"Maggie,"
he cried.
"You can't mean this. It will kill me."
"I can't follow my impulses any further,"
she said.
"I'm tied to the past and to other people. I can't be happy if I make other people suffer, the people closest to me. I must give up my own pleasure for them."
"But you are mine, heart and soul. We were made to be together,"
cried Stephen.
"And it is too late now. People will know what we have done."
"I must go home,"
she said,
"and face everybody."
"Are you mad?"
he cried.
"How can you go back without marrying me now?"
"I will confess my error, and some good will come out of it,"
she said.
"Go then,"
he said coldly, and Maggie ran from the inn.